Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text 22. Ta angri yogmam anukrishya sarisripanta gosha pragosha ruchiram vraja kardamesho Sarisripanta Gosha Pragosha Ruchiram Rajakardamesho Tannada Hrishta Manasavana Sritya Loka Krishna Sarisripanta Gosha Pragosha Ruchiram Vrajakardamesho Tannada Hrishta Manasavana Sritya Loka Vadupeya Toran Trimatra liturgies. Yashoda and Rohini. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna and Balaram were crawling about Vrajabhumi, they were enchanted by the sound of ankle bells. Thus they sometimes followed other people who would enjoy the crawling of Krishna and Balaram and exclaim, "Oh, see how Krishna and Balaram are crawling." Upon hearing this, Krishna and Balaram could understand that these were not their mothers they were following, and they would return to their actual mothers. Thus, the crawling of Krishna and Balaram was enjoyed by the people of the neighborhood, as well as by Mother Yashoda and Rohini, and the two children themselves. Tavandri yukma manukrishya saristripan to gosha pragosha ruchiram vrajakardame shu tanna darishta manasavanusritya lokam mukta prabita vadupeya turantima tro. When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Vraja by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that these were other people, they became afraid and returned to their real mothers, Yashoda and Rohini. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasada Bhutadeshi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Mani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayani. Nirvisheshashunyavadi kastrityadeshakani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkak Tarubhyas Jagripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnanebhyo Namo Namaha. So we can see how Srila Prabhupada is relishing this description. Of course, Srila Prabhupada always relished everything in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, he loved Krishna consciousness in every aspect, and all anything to do with it, it was really nectar. It was all nectar for him. But even amongst nectars, there is nectar and there is nectar. There are different levels and different degrees and different types of nectar. It is very variegated. And of course, when we use the term nectar, it implies, at least in English, the word implies some liquid which can be drunk. So even in that sense, by material standards, in material terms, we can understand there's so many types of drinks, all different types of drinks. There's even different types of water with different tastes. And what to speak of different types of juices, different types of milk-based drinks, and all sorts of things like this. Somehow on the material level, this drink called Coca-Cola is apparently the most popular of all drinks. Who knows why? You know, it's got this weird taste. But anyway, somehow it's become popular. Extremely popular. So even on the material level, in terms of drinks or sort of nectar drinks or nice drinks, then there's so many varieties, all sorts of varieties. And what to speak of when you really get into it and become a specialist in making nectar drinks with cream and honey and different juices. And we will not get into it too much because we don't want to agitate anyone's mind before breakfast. But yeah, it's quite something. Nectar drinks. So the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, or just the nectar of Krishna consciousness in so many ways, Prabhupada did not appreciate when people really said things like, Bhagavad Gita, well, it's okay. It's philosophy, but that's a philosophy. Oh, it's okay. But the real nectar is Radha Krishna Leela. And this other Bhagavad Gita, well, you know. It's okay for the beginners, the small timers, but actually it's nectar also. It's just a different taste, different type of nectar. And Baladeva Vijayabhushan writes at the end of his Bhagavad Gita commentary, he writes to the effect that there I was at Radhakund, the most sacred place of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But then some devotees asked me, will you do a translation and commentary on Bhagavad Gita? And Baladeva Vijayabhushan says that they asked me this and I thought, I am here at Radha Kund. This is all Radha Krishna Leela. It is the Radha Krishna Leela capital. And they're asking me to write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, which is all philosophy and, you know, some karma kandya at least is referred to, and different forms of yoga are discussed, and things which are not really, you know, you don't find in Radha Krishna Leela. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Sri Gornatai Kijan. So he says, he thought, well, that Bhagavad Gita is so philosophical, I'm here at Radha Kund, shouldn't I just focus on that? But then he says, the devotees kept asking me, and I felt, well, if the devotees keep asking me, I have to do it, I must do it. The devotees are ordering me. So he said, all right, okay, I'll do a commentary if you devotees want. So then Baladeva Vijayabhushan explains that I started doing my commentary on Bhagavad Gita and then going into it more and more, step by step. After a little while, it seemed to me like Bhagavad Gita had become like an ocean, and that Krishna, through my writing this commentary, Krishna had put me on a boat and pushed me out into the ocean. And so there I was, floating out into the ocean of Bhagavad Gita. But then suddenly, the boat sank in the ocean of Bhagavad Gita. The boat sank. And he said, my boat became like a submarine. And I found I was diving deeper and deeper into this ocean of Bhagavad Gita. And as I was diving deeper here and there into the ocean of Bhagavad Gita, I was finding so many jewels in the meanings, because they say jewels come from the ocean. That's what Vedic Shastra says. So as I was going deeper and deeper here and there into the ocean of Bhagavad Gita, I was finding more and more jewels in the meanings. And now, because this is right at the end, and now I don't want to come out. So you see, it's nectar. So to speak, even Bhagavad Gita is nectar. It's just nectar. Simply nectar. Kevala Ananda Kanda. I think it is. Narottam Das Thakur says that. So it's all nectar from beginning to end, from this side to that side, up, down, around, whatever way you look at it. And Srila Prabhupada, we've done a seminar about the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they resemble different anathas. So we did a lot of research for that. And we found a number of statements by Srila Prabhupada where he says that those people, commentators and people like that, like Bhagavatam reciters, that sort of person, and they distinguish, they make big distinction between Krishna's pastimes of killing the demons and his pastimes of dancing with the gopis. Those commentators, those people who make big distinction like that, we don't agree. We relish Krishna killing the demons. And we also relish Krishna dancing with the gopis, but we relish all of it. And it is not like Krishna in Vrindavan is for the real devotees, and Krishna in Dwarka or somewhere else, battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is just for the commoners, kind of the plebs of society, spiritual plebs. You know this term, pleb? The patricians and the plebs, anyway. Just for the commoners. Sort of the nobody people. But it's not like that, it's all nectar. And we can see here, well, as we said, there is nectar and there is nectar. It's all nectar, but still the nectar is on different levels. And still it is a fact that Krishna in Vrindavan, the nectar is more. And we can see Prabhupada is relishing it here. In English grammar, particularly formal grammar, like in books, you're dealing with quite a formal form of English grammar. In formal English grammar, you will never repeat like an adjective, a descriptive term. You don't repeat it. You may use it. Even, I was just reading, Jayad Waitamara sent out something about editing. And he said, one, like, motto or slogan or something for editors is, whenever you see an adjective, kill it. Yeah. Kill it. In other words, don't get into floweriness, because it's a formal presentation. It's not, a conversational, like this is a conversational or a more conversational form of presentation when you're speaking. But here, Srila Prabhupada says, gosha pragosha ruchi ram, in the word for word, as Krishna and Balaram were crawling like snakes, they produced a sound with their ankle bells that was very, very sweet to hear. Very, very sweet to hear. Prabhupada, by repeating that very, he's giving great emphasis, particularly in this context of very formal English. It is great emphasis. So that sound of the ankle bells of Krishna and Balaram was so, Prabhupada saying, very, very sweet to hear. It means that people, when they were hearing it, people were fainting. Really? They were actually fainting. When people would hear those ankle bells, they would just become dizzy and start swooning. Tears would come to their eyes. Oh, you know, any adult, pretty much, if they see a little child fooling around, doing some little childish thing, then practically any adult feels, ah, how sweet. But when you see Krishna and Balarama doing these things, then it's not just like, oh, how cute. It's just like, wow, it's just completely incredible. Just completely incredible. And doubtless, some people were fainting. Many of them, tears were coming from their eyes. And all these other ecstatic symptoms. This is all. It's all part of rasa. I was reading actually yesterday from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The definition of rasa, or a definition of rasa, is first of all, you have different bhavas. Bhava means ecstasy. Different types of ecstatic feelings. Different types of emotions. When a person is on the level of bhava, I mean, this is technical and, you know, it's probably not so practical for any of us. But the fact is, when a devotee is on the level of bhava, means they are experiencing the different bhavas, the different ecstasies. Therefore, it's called the level of bhava. But what distinguishes, one thing which distinguishes bhava from prema and bhava, or the feelings of bhava and the feelings in rasa, and rasa is on the level of prema, is that on the level of bhava, a devotee experiences one emotion at a time. And one type of feeling, one type of symptom at a time. And they're not mixing, but they're just there. And the example which is given by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Srila Prabhupada repeats it in Nectar of Devotion, the example is of Maharaj Ambarish, when Devasa Muni sent the demon to attack him. Yeah, I'm sure you all know that story. Maharaj Devasa Muni felt that Maharaj Ambarish had committed a great offense against him by drinking water before he ate. This is called being too sensitive, oversensitive. It's one thing, you know, if someone punches you or screams at you or insults you in some rude way, then you may get disturbed. But if you really become so disturbed you want to kill someone because they drank some water before you, it means you're oversensitive. Devasa Muni suffers from this problem. He's oversensitive. Anyway, so he sent the demon. He pulled a hair out of his head, threw it on the ground. From it manifested this ghastly looking killer demon. And he came towards Maharaj Ambarish. And so the verse which is quoted there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Srila Prabhupada also mentions it in Nectar of Devotion, is that Maharaj Ambarish, when he saw this demon coming, he stood there, folded his hands, closed his eyes, remembered the Lord, and tears came from his eyes. This is a bhava. This is one of the eight Ashta Satvika Bhavas. Tears. It wasn't that tears came, his body shivered, his hair stood on end. No, tears came from his eyes. It's a bhava. So rasa means the difference between bhava and rasa, in this sense at least, is that rasa means there is more than one bhava and they are mixing. And the combination of the two or three or even four is called rasa. This is actually what rasa is, a combination of different ecstasies, at least two. And if it ever comes to the point of all eight, and particularly if it comes to being a combination of all eight completely to the fullest extent, this is called Mahabhava. And only Srimati Radharani experiences that, and one of a few others. But she experiences it the most. Anyway, the thing is that here we have this charming scene. It is just so, such a beautiful scene. Even we in our, you know, mixed conditions, or sometimes worse than mixed, we can read it and it's very nice. Even for us, it's very charming. But when you're on that level, way up there, wow, it's just incredible. So you can see Prabhupada is relishing because he's repeating some, like, you know, a descriptive term, an embellishing term, an enriching term is being repeated. So this is very nice. I could just mention that later in the 10th canto, there's a story of, what's his name, who dressed himself up like Krishna and wanted Krishna's chakra. Who was that? Anyway. Begins with P. What's his name? Pondraka. Thank you. Pondraka, there's a verse that, right in the beginning of that description, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, and he's saying that there was a demon named Pondraka, and he was just so crazy, so extreme. He dressed himself up like Krishna and claimed to be Krishna. So then the narration goes on a few verses later. There is another verse. It says, more or less, there was a demon named Pondraka, and he was so crazy and so bizarre, he dressed himself up like Krishna and claimed he was Krishna. In other words, it's saying more or less the same thing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on that second verse, he raises the question, why did Shukadeva Goswami repeat this? He already said it. And actually, he puts it in a very interesting way. He says, Srimad Bhagavatam is such a book. It is highly condensed. Highly condensed. Means so many things are said, but in, like, extremely succinct forms. There's no, you know, going into romantic extended descriptions. In fact, you find if you read like Ramayana, Mahabharata, particularly then, that things which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam in one verse are described in them in one chapter, or even two chapters, or three or four chapters, like the lamentation of Ram, after Sita's kidnapping is in one verse in the ninth canto. But in Ramayana, it's, I think, seven chapters. It's very amazing, but still, Bhagavatam is very succinct. So actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura says, in such a short book as Srimad Bhagavatam, how's that? It's only 18,000 verses. In such an abbreviated, such a compressed book as Srimad Bhagavatam, if you find anything repeated, you must know it is of great importance, special importance. So he says here that Shukadeva Goswami has repeated this because he was just so astonished. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it that there was someone like Pondraka, and he dressed up as Krishna and claimed to be Krishna. It's just like, what? What is this? And he said, and he makes this point about repetition as a Vedic device and as not being there in Srimad Bhagavatam, and here Srila Prabhupada's using it. So Prabhupada, he is a real rasika, relisher of transcendental nectar. He's relishing this. And we should also try to learn to relish it. Read it again and again and try and take it into an open heart and try to appreciate Krishna and Balaram. They're doing things just like little children. We also see little children doing the same things. You know, we get around and meet so many people, and some families with their little children, they come and tell us when they meet us, they say, oh, you know, our child, all day he's been saying that today we're going to see Maharaj. Been repeating it the whole day. Today we're going to see Maharaj. And then they meet Maharaj and the child hides behind the mother. Will not come forward because the child's feeling shy and nervous. I mean, I personally experienced it on countless occasions actually. And you try to encourage the child, come on, it's all right, but they won't come out from behind mummy. So Krishna and Balaram are doing the same things. They're crawling around in the cow dung and cow urine. And no one, well, first thing, no one is saying, keep out of that dirty place. Everyone is just thinking, wow, that's wonderful. Cow dung and cow urine. That's also nectar. But somehow, as little children do, Krishna and Balaram became fascinated and attracted by certain things. Sometimes they become fascinated and attracted by strange things. Krishna and Balaram became fascinated and attracted by ankle bells. These tinkling little ankle bells jingling away. They just became attracted. And when someone would walk by with some ankle bells, they would hear and they would follow. And you could just imagine how they must have been smiling because they're hearing this nice sound. Oh, ankle bells. For an adult, ankle bells are, you know, it's not really a big deal. You don't distinguish between this type of ankle bell and that type of ankle bell. Not so much. But they were into ankle bells. And those people wearing the ankle bells would see, oh, look, Krishna and Balaram are following us. And they would say that to each other. Prabhupada mentions here, oh, see how Krishna and Balaram are crawling. And then Krishna and Balaram, focused on the ankle bells, would hear their voices and look up. Oh, it's not mummy, it's someone else. And they become anxious. Let's get back to mummy. It's the same thing. Same sort of thing happens in ordinary life. And everyone, of course, thinks it's cute. But in this case, oh, it is like super. The ecstasy the devotees are experiencing of rag, anurag, and these exalted transcendental emotions, which are so powerful that in some cases, at least when they're extreme, a material body is not able to accommodate them, but they're feeling them, just seeing Krishna and Balaram calling like that. So it is truly nectar. And everyone, at least the ladies who would be at home during the day, not working in the factory to earn rupees, but they would be at home and not watching TV either, and not sleeping either. But they would be just absorbed in the whole world of village life. And like the extended family life and extended family life, and the whole village is just like one unit, and so rich and deep in interpersonal exchanges. So they would be there, and what would they do? As soon as they got up, what are Krishna and Balaram doing? Let's go and see. And they would all go and see what Krishna and Balaram were doing and stay there the whole day, practically, unless they had to do some household chores. But they were there with Mother Yashoda and Rohini, just relishing. All these different childish activities of Krishna and Balaram. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Giri Govardhan Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. Yes, so it is nectar. And we may get a little taste. We hear about it, we read about it, we may.